إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing has the right nor deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. We would like to continue this evening with the explanation of Al-Aqidah Sahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'afar Ahmed ibn Muhammad al-Tahawi. And in our last meeting, we discussed few points which we should quickly review concerning the Quran, where Al-Imam Tahawi mentions that from the belief or the creed or the aqidah of the Muslims, and particularly the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, those who adhere strictly to the Sunnah or the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who stick to the group without deviating and dividing themselves into sects or parties. He said that we believe أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْهُ بَدَى بِلَا كَيْفِيَّ قَوْلًا, that it came from Him without explaining how, and it was real speech. فَأَنْزَلَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَحْيًا, and He sent it down on His messenger as revelation from the angel Jibreel to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited to the people. وَصَدَّقَهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ حَقًّا, and the believers, the true believers, affirmed as truthful this fact that it is a real, yani a reality. وَأَيْقَنُوا أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ, and they are certain that it is the speech of Allah the Most High. بِالْحَقِيقَةِ لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ, it is not something created. The speech of Allah is not created, just as any other of the characteristics or qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not created. Allah is the creator and everything related to Him, His speech, His actions, His qualities or characteristics, all of that is uncreated. He said, لَيْسَ بِمَخْلُوقٍ كَكَلَامِ الْبَرِّيَّةِ, that the speech of Allah is not created like the speech of human beings. The human being is created, and his speech and actions and characteristics are all created. فَمَنْ سَمِعْهُ فَزَعَمَ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ الْبَشَرِ, whoever heard the speech of Allah, the Qur'an, and claimed that it is the speech of a human being. As those people who tried to deny the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said that these words that he was repeating was only something he heard from a man, someone else was teaching him these words. Since he couldn't read and write, they couldn't claim he read it somewhere, so they said someone was teaching him. He says, Imam al-Tahawi says, whoever hears the speech of Allah, the Qur'an, and claims that it is the speech of a human being, فَقَدْ كَفَرْ, that person has really disbelieved. وَقَدْ ذَمَّهُ اللَّهُ وَعَابَهُ وَعُوَعَدَهُ بِسَقَرْ, and Allah has blamed that person and censured him and warned him with punishment in the hellfire. حيث قال تعالى, where Allah the Most High says, فَأُسْلِيهِ سَقَرْ, then he will be thrown into the fire. In Surah Al-Mudathir, verse 26. فلما عوعد الله بالسكر لمن قال إن هذا إلا قول البشر. So when Allah threatened the hellfire for the one who says that verily this is only the speech of a human being, علمنا وعيقنا أنه قول خالق البشر ولا يشبه قول البشر. Then we came to know for sure from this that this speech is really the speech of the creator of the human beings, and that there's no resemblance between it and the speech of human beings. The main thing we should know that the Quran is the speech of Allah, it is not created, and whoever claims that it is the speech of human beings or that it is created, this is an act or a statement of disbelief of kufr that we should be warned from. Also, the second point that we discussed last week was point number 34, وَمَنْ وَصَفَ اللَّهِ بِمَعْنَى مِنْ مَعَانِيَ الْبَشَرِ. Whoever describes Allah with any definition or characteristic that is the characteristics or definitions of the human being, فَقَدْ قَفَرْ كَفَرْ. Then this person who resembles Allah or describes Allah, يعني being in any way similar to human beings, has also disbelieved. To describe Allah or to compare Allah to anything in the creation, human or otherwise, this is an act of disbelief. فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ هَذَا اِعْتَبَرْ. So whoever understood this point, then they would take heed to such. وَعَنْ مِثْلِ قَوْلِ الْكُفَّارِ إِنْ زَجَرْ. And they would stay far away from and hold back from the speech of the disbelievers who say such. وَعَلِمَ أَنَّهُ بِصِفَاتِهِ لَيْسَ كَالْبَشَرْ. And they would know for sure that Allah in His qualities and characteristics is in no way similar to human beings. And this second point is a very important point, and we discussed in some detail some of the rules related to the names of Allah and His characteristics. And we said that the most important and the first rule here is that we should affirm whatever Allah affirms for Himself and negate or deny from Allah whatever Allah has denied for Himself. And from the discussion that we had last week, the point that was under discussion is the speech of Allah, the Quran being the speech of Allah. And that's a particular point, but in general, any of the characteristics of Allah or qualities of Allah, we should affirm whatever Allah has affirmed for Himself. Allah affirms that He speaks, therefore we affirm it. Or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he affirms for the Prophet, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any characteristic or action or quality, then we should also affirm it and not try to re-explain it, change its meaning, twist its meaning, deny it, or any such thing. So we said that this affirmation should be with four points. The first of them is affirmation without tahrif, without corrupting the meaning, and without ta'atil, negating its meaning, yani denying it completely. Yani those who make tahrif, who distort the meaning, they don't deny this characteristic for Allah, but they change the meaning, they distort the meaning. So in a way, they are also denying it, but indirectly. But ta'atil means outright to deny it having any meaning. And then we said also without takyif and without tashbih. Takyif means to say the kayfiyah or how is that thing. And tashbih is to compare Allah or any of His characteristics or actions to the characteristics or actions of the human beings. And inshallah, before we reach the end of this portion, in the book, before we reach the halfway mark, we should give out some notes concerning this principle of the names of Allah and the characteristics of affirmation without distorting or changing or denying or comparing or explaining how the actions or characteristics or qualities of Allah are. And we affirm that Allah has these characteristics, but we do not explain how they are, because the how of it is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The main thing, just as Allah Himself is unlike any being in the creation, then also His characteristics are unlike the characteristics of any being in the creation. The first point that we want to discuss this evening is point number 35, where Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him, says, وَالرُّؤْيَةُ حَقٌّ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. That the seeing of Allah, the ru'ya, that the people of paradise that they would see Allah, this is true. It is a fact. There's no doubt about it. الرؤية حق لأهل الجنة. It is a true fact and a right of the people who will enter paradise. بغير إحاطة ولا كيفية. This رؤية or seeing Allah or the vision of Allah, seeing Allah actually, it will not be with إحاطة. يعني it doesn't mean that the human being would see Allah in his entirety. يعني that they would be able to comprehend or encompass Allah in his whole being, because Allah is divine, perfect, and the human being is يعني human and imperfect. But we would see Allah for sure without total encompassing. ولا كيفية, and without explaining exactly how is that seen. كما نطق به كتاب ربنا. And this is a fact as it has been mentioned clearly in the book of our Lord, يعني in the book of Allah, Al-Quran, where he says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse 22 and 23, in very clear language, وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. That the faces of the people on that day, يعني on the day of resurrection, their faces would be bright or brilliant, shining. وجوه يومئذ ناظرة. They would be bright and brilliant, shining. إلى ربها ناظرة. And they would be ناظرة. ناظرة means to look. They would be looking to their Lord. They would be looking at Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وتفسيره على ما أراده الله تعالى وعلمه. And the explanation of this matter is as Allah intended it to be. As Allah intends it to be, and as He knows it to be. وكل ما جاء في ذلك من الحديث الصحيح عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم فهو كما قال. And everything that has been transmitted to us concerning this matter in the authentic hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then it is as he said it to be. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said about this, and it has been transmitted to us by authentic chains of transmitters, where we know for sure that it is his word and not something that has been fabricated or distorted, then it is as he said it to be, without any doubt about it. وَمَأْنَاهُ عَلَى مَا أَرَادَ. And its meaning should be understood in the way that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended it. لَا نَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ مُتَأَوِّلِينَ بِآرَائِنَا وَلَا مُتَوَهِّمِينَ بِأَهْوَائِنَا. And we shouldn't go into these things or delve into such matters that has been clearly mentioned to us in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah concerning the matters of the unseen, of the next life, or the things that is not known to human beings except by revelation. If it came to us by revelation in the Quran or in the authentic Sunnah, then it's not for us to delve into these things and try to re-explain them by our own opinion or by our imagination or our desire. As some of the people did, they used their opinions to explain such, and they gave no interpretation. They said that the seeing of Allah means seeing يعني رؤية ثواب الله. يعني it means that you would see in the next life in the paradise, you would see the reward of Allah. يعني you would get the reward of Allah. But already Allah confirmed that you would get the reward in paradise. And He also said that you would see Him. On such interpretation, some of them said that the رؤية of Allah يوم القيامة means العلم واليقين. That you would know Allah for sure in the next life and with certainty. And the believers know Allah for sure with certainty in this life. And even the disbelievers would know Allah for sure on that day. So they would stand before Him and they would know Allah for sure. So such interpretations, the imagination and desires and opinions of the people have no place in these matters of the unseen that are only known by revelation. Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, goes on to say, فَإِنَّهُ مَا سَلِمَ فِي دِينِهِ إِلَّا مَنْ سَلَّمَ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلِرَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. That no one would be safe in his religion except the one who submits and surrenders himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ورد علم ما اشتبه عليه إلى عالمه. And that person returns or refers the knowledge of that which is unclear to him, he refers it back to the عالمه, the one who knows it. And if you don't know, it's not clear to you, then refer it back to the one who knows. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a very important principle here that we should pay careful attention to, that no one, Al-Imam al-Tahawi gives us a fundamental principle that's very important. No one would be safe and secure in their deen except that they surrender themselves and submit wholeheartedly without hesitation or resistance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. Whatever is unclear to you, refer it back to the one who knows. The all-knowing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the most knowledgeable of all creation, of all the creatures, that is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah has revealed and given the knowledge of such things that He wills to give to him. The Shaykh Al-Khumayyiz, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, in his brief summary, he says that the ru'ya, or the seeing of Allah, it is the ru'ya, or the vision of the believers. It will be for the believers to see their Lord Azza wa Jalla, the Mighty and the Majestic, on the Day of Resurrection, seeing Him with their eyes. With their eyes. And this is something that is confirmed and established by the Qur'an, by the Sunnah, and by the Sunnah. So it is also confirmed and established by the ijma' of the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the consensus, and by so many of the statements of the scholars of Sunnah in their books of Aqidah, all of them confirm this point and this matter, except those who deviated from the Qur'an and Sunnah. So he said that as for the confirmation of this in the Qur'an, it is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا, that their faces on that day, meaning the Day of Resurrection, will be bright and shining, looking towards their Lord. This is in Surah Al-Qiyamah, chapter 75, verse 22 and 23. And also the statement of Allah Ta'ala, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادًا. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا, for those who did good, who perfected their affairs in this world, meaning that this ihsan, it means that they had iman, faith in Allah, and they did the things that He ordered them to do according to the instruction of the prophets and messengers, or according in our time to the instruction of the last messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So those who ahsanu, for them, those who did good, who did what they are supposed to do in this world, for them is al-husna. And al-husna means al-jannah. Al-husna is the paradise. For those who did good in this world, there will be for them al-husna waziyada. They will have paradise waziyada. What is ziyada? Extra ziyada. They will have paradise, and on top of whatever is in paradise, there is going to be something extra. What is the ziyada? This ziyada, subhanallah, has been explained by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the way, this ayah is in Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 26. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَ, is in Surah Yunus, chapter 10, verse 26. And it has been explained by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this ziyada is an-nazr ila wajhi Allah, that it would be the looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of al-Bukhari, it's reported in al-Bukhari and Muslim, he mentioned on the authority of Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ, that verily you all, certainly you will see your Lord, سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمَرِ, just as you see this moon. And this hadith, in the beginning of the hadith, it mentioned that this was on a night when the moon was full, and the Prophet ﷺ was with his companions, and then he said to them, looking at the full moon in the sky, and you know how bright is the full moon, especially in the desert, in the middle of the month, in the middle of the night, in the darkness of the night, he said, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذَا الْقَمَرِ, in the same way that you see this bright full moon in the night, in the same way, يعني just as you see this without any unclarity, you will also see your Lord سبحانه وتعالى. وَلَا تُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ, and you will not find any difficulty in seeing him. يعني there will be no difficulty for you to see him. The meaning of this is not that the people will have al-ihata billah, يعني that they will comprehend Allah in his entirety, but they will see Allah, they will see the face of Allah as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised in this hadith, in his comparison between the seeing of the full moon in the night, comparing it to the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And this comparison, as the Shaykh mentions here and some of the scholars mentioned, is the comparison of the vision of the human being and not the comparison of what the human being will see. Yani the comparison is that your sight, just as your sight sees the moon, your sight will also enable you to see Allah. But the thing that you are looking at, the moon, is not being compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only your ability to see. Just as you have the ability to see the moon, you will have similar ability to see Allah. But as for any comparison between anything in the creation and Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing that is similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the comparison here is the vision of the human being. Here the Shaykh, he says that this vision, it will be بَصَرِيَ حَقِيقِيَّ, يعني that you will see in reality with your eyes, not with your mind or heart, but it will be sight by your eyes. وَلَيْسَتْ رُعْيَا كَلْبِيَ مَعْنَوِيَّ, يعني it is not a vision of the heart or مَعْنَوِيَّ. What do you mean مَعْنَوِيَّ? يعني what do you call this? Allegorical. يعني not in reality. Allegory. It is not allegorical, but it is يعني real حقيقية sight. In fact, he says that this seeing of Allah is the greatest of the bounties that the people of Jannah will enjoy in the paradise. It is the greatest joy that the people of paradise will experience. And the hadith, the narrations of hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this matter are mutawatira. They are what? Mutawatira. What is the meaning of mutawatira? We said before that mutawatira means those hadith which came from many chains of narrators. Not one or two or three or few, but many chains of narrators. Mutawatir. And this is important because some of the people who deviated said in Aqidah, they do not accept any point of belief that came by hadith which is not mutawatir. They said, we don't accept it if it's not mutawatir. And the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah said, we accept any authentic hadith, if it's mutawatir or not. Even if it only came from one chain and that chain is authentic, we accept it. If it's established from the Prophet, we believe it. But they said, no, we don't believe it unless it came from many, 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 many chains, mutawatir. But on this point, they cannot even claim such argument because this hadith came mutawatira and still they don't accept it. It came mutawatira by so many chains of narrative from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so many of the scholars and imams of hadith have said, have mentioned this point, that this hadith came through innumerous chains of narrative. And the understood or intended meaning of these ayahs that we have mentioned, and the hadith concerning this matter, they should be understood as they appear to be, without interpretation or giving anyone's opinion to it. That the believers will see their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala with their eyes on the day of resurrection. And we affirm the truthfulness of this information that has been transmitted to us in this matter. And we do not try to re-explain by our opinions, which are imperfect. The intellect of the human being that his opinions are based upon is imperfect. So we do not try to use our imperfect opinions to explain such things. Nor do we allow our desires to take control of us. And if we don't agree with something, we reject it, even though the reality and the truth of it is clear. Because as Imam al-Tahawi says, that any human being, if he wants to be safe and secure in his religion from deviation and slipping, then he must submit himself in total surrender to Allah the Most High and to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning those things which have been reported to us that have been established as being really truthfully coming from Allah and His Messenger. And in the case where any of these matters becomes unclear to us, we are uncertain about it, then we should return such matters to our Creator, the one who is all-knowing and all-wise. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 7, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. As for those who have in their heart some deviation, any sickness, that is, those people who are not willing really to submit to what Allah says in the Qur'an clearly, what the Prophet ﷺ explained to us clearly. They have a disease in their heart. They have an inclination to deviation. Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. Then they seem to follow that which is unclear. Yani those matters which have some unclarity in it, they like to follow those matters. اِبْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ, seeking fitna, seeking confusion and making trouble. وَبْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلًا, and they also seek to re-explain these matters. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, and no one knows the explanation of such matters except Allah. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, and as for those who are firmly established in knowledge, the scholars who really have knowledge of the Quran and knowledge of the Sunnah, and they follow the correct methodology in understanding the religion as it was understood by the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the scholars who came after them, these راسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به, they say we believe in it. يعني they surrender to Allah and accept whatever comes to them of the clear or unclear matters. They say آمنا به كل من عند ربنا, يعني all of it is from our Lord. We don't make any distinction between that which is clear or that which is unclear. All of it is from our Lord. We believe in all of it. وما يذكر إلا أولي الألباب, and none would take heed in such matters except those who have been given understanding. Also, this ayah in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 7, is a very important ayah which gives us another principle that the people, when there's any unclear matters, shubha, doubtful matters, dubious matters in the deen, whether in aqidah or otherwise, there are some people who have the natural inclination. And they seem always to incline towards those unclear matters and really get engaged and involved in trying to reinterpret or explain those things. They love to go into the unclear matters. But as for those who have real knowledge and are firmly established in the deen, they recognize that whatever came from Allah and whatever came from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we must believe in it, we must accept it, and we don't make any distinction. All of it is from Allah, all of it has to be accepted. Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, in his brief comment concerning this point of the seeing of Allah, that the believers will see Allah in the next life, he said first that the hadith which have been reported authentically confirm without doubt the vision of the believers or the seeing of the believers of their Lord on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and those hadith are so many until they reach the point of being considered يعني متواتر, as has been يعني pointed out by so many of the scholars. And one of them is Ibn Abd al-Izz, who gave the large explanation of this Aqidah Sahawiyyah. And he said, Ibn Abd al-Izz, Shaykh al-Albani now is quoting from him, he said that the hadith of the ru'ya or the seeing of Allah have been reported by approximately 30 different companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Yani every companion had students who narrated those hadith from him, making the number of chains of narrators from each one of them being many. But even from the very first point, from the point of companions, there were at least 30 different companions of the Prophet ﷺ who narrated this particular point. So whoever knows such, that these hadith came from so many companions and through so many chains, then they would be certain and have no doubt that this is really a statement from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and not something that has been fabricated. Then he says that in this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you will see a Lord just as you see this moon, he said that the comparison here is a comparison between, as I mentioned already, the vision of the human being and not between that which the human being will see. Yani there's no comparison between the moon that we see in this world and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we would see in the next world or in the next life. But in this hadith also there's a evidence of al-ulu, of the highness or the loftiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is high above His creation. In this hadith there's a hint at this point that just as the people are seeing the moon high above them, they are looking up to it, in the next life also we will be looking up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever, and this is also a point that some of the people deviated about, they said that Allah is not above His throne, that Allah is not above the creation, that Allah is everywhere, Allah is in every place, in everything. So here again, this hadith is an indirect proof of such, that Allah is high above His creation, and whoever said that Allah is not in any direction, that He would be seen but not in any direction. Yani they said, since they don't believe that Allah is high, then they said, Allah doesn't have any direction. He's neither above us nor below us. He's not in front of us nor behind us. Not to the right of us nor to the left of us. They said He has no direction. Therefore, they said, He would be seen but not in any direction. Such a person should, the Shaykh Ibn Abdul Aziz says, they should يعني, review their intellect. Maybe something is wrong with them. Because, يعني, how can it be that Allah would be seen, that we would see Him, but we would not see Him in front of us nor behind us, not above us nor below us, not on the right nor on the left. Where will we see Him? How will we look at Him? In which direction? No direction? We will just see Him. How is such possible? Then Shaykh al-Albani says, a side point here, as for seeing Allah in this world, in this life, yani Imam al-Sahawi is talking about the fact that we would see Allah in the next life. But related to that is the point of seeing Allah in this world. And the people differed concerning this with three main opinions. The first opinion, some people said that we could see Allah, and we would see, some people would see Allah in this world as well as see Him in the next life. And second group said that Allah cannot be seen. You will not see Him in this world, nor you will see Him in the next life. And the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is the middle course between the deviations this way and that way, who said, as has been confirmed in the Quran and Sunnah, that we would see Allah in the next life. That has been confirmed. But as for seeing Allah in this world, no one would see Allah in this world. This is the correct opinion. Here Shaykh al-Albani says, as for seeing Allah in this world, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed us in the authentic hadith, أَنَّ أَحَدًا مِنَّا لَا يَرَاهُ حَتَّى يَمُوتُ, that no one of us would see Allah حَتَّى يَمُوتُ, and until you die. That means no one can see Him in this world. You will not see Allah حَتَّى يَمُوتُ. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim. The second issue related to this is whether or not the Prophet ﷺ would see, or could, or did see Allah in this world. And the Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah are in agreement that the people would not, the believers would not see Allah in this world, but only in the next life we would see Him. But some misunderstood and thought that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, because of His high status and position of honor, that he was allowed to see Allah even in this life. And here Shaykh al-Albani says, as for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing Allah in this world, then there is no authentic and confirmed hadith or proof of such. In fact, it has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which indirectly points to the fact that he did not see Allah in this world and that is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was asked about seeing Allah, did he see Allah? And he negated such by his words, Nurun anna arahu. Nurun anna arahu. That means Nurun, kayfa arahu. Anna arahu means kayfa arahu. Nur, I saw light. Kayfa arahu. How can I see? How could I see? Because the hijab of Allah is Nur. Is Nur. The hijab of Allah, the screen before Allah is Nur. When the Prophet ﷺ ascended to the heavens, he saw the hijab of Allah, Nur, anna arahu, kayfa, how could I have seen him? Huh? Sheen? Shield? Sheen? The shin of Allah, that's another matter, na'am. That means that this is the confirmation that Allah has a shin. A shin, of course, the characteristics of Allah, as we said, are not like the characteristics of human beings. Allah has hands, but hands not like human beings. Allah has a face, not like face of human beings. The shin of the human being is the lower part of the leg, below the knee. Yes. And it is confirmed that Allah has a shin, and on Yawm al-Qiyamah it will be uncovered. The people would see it, but not, of course, the shin like the shin of a human being. Okay? Anyway, he says here that this hadith is an indirect indication of the negation by the Prophet ﷺ himself when he was asked, did he see Allah? He said, Nurun anna arahu. I saw light, how could I have seen him? And not only that, but it has been firmly stated, walaykum salam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, by our mother, the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha, that she negated such that the Prophet ﷺ did not see Allah. And this has been reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this is the correct opinion of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and that which we should hold firm to. Can someone tell me how much time, what time is it now? Because I don't have my watch with me. 7:03, okay, thank you. Now, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi in point number 36 goes on to say, وَلَا تَثْبُتْ قَدَمُ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ التَّسْلِيمِ وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامِ. And here again he's giving us a principle related to the matters of aqidah in general, and especially the matters of a tawheed of the names of Allah, يعني الأسماء والصفات and the characteristics of Allah. He said, لَا تَثْبُتْ قَدَمُ الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ التَّسْلِيمِ وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامِ. جزاك الله خير. That no one's Islam would be secure or firm except ala dhahri at-taslim wal-istislam, except that they submit and surrender themselves completely. Yani, you cannot be secure in your deen and your understanding of the religion, especially the matters of creed, of faith, of belief, except that you submit yourself to Allah. But whoever wants to debate and argue and rationalize, what Allah has given to us, we must accept it and submit to it. What the Prophet ﷺ has given to us, we must submit and surrender willingly and accept it. And here Al-Imam Al-Tahawi says that no one would be firm and secure in his deen until he accepts this fact. That is, the fact of at-taslim wal-istislam, submission and willing surrender. فَمَنْ رَامَ عِلْمَ مَا حُذِرَ أَنْهُ عِلْمُهُ. So whoever desires to know those things which is beyond his capacity, which Allah has denied to the human beings to know. Those things which Allah didn't make it for the human beings to know. But whoever seeks and desires such knowledge, which is beyond his ability or his capacity, or he has been prevented, حُذِرَ عَنْهُ عِلْمُهُ, Allah has not allowed us to know it. وَلَمْ يَقْنَعْ بِالتَّسْلِيمِ فَحْمُهُ. And he is not satisfied to submit his understanding or surrender his understanding to that which Allah has informed us of, or that which the Prophet ﷺ has informed us of. حَجَبَهُ مُرَامُهُ عَنْ خَالِصِ التَّوْهِيدِ وَصَافِئَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ وَالصَّحِيِّ الْإِيمَانِ. Such a person will be prevented. He will be cut off from understanding Allah's true, يعني the true meaning, or the pure meaning of Tawheed, Allah's uniqueness and oneness, and the pure, يعني knowledge of Allah, and the pure knowledge of the deen, and the correct sahih al-iman, يعني the correct creed or faith, يعني belief, correct belief, authentic correct belief. يعني the person who seeks that which Allah didn't intend for us to know. And they are not satisfied with submitting and surrendering their understanding to that which Allah has given us. Then that person, he is seeking such knowledge that is not meant for him. This, يعني, seeking will prevent him from having the knowledge of the pure Tawheed or the oneness of Allah and the pure knowledge of Allah, knowing about Allah and the matters of being and the correct faith. فَيَتَذَبْذَبُ بَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ وَالْإِيمَانِ. Then that person will go back and forth. They will be مُتَرَدِّد, يعني undecided, not firm. فَذَبْذَبَ. They will be going back and forth بَيْنَ الْكُفْرِ وَالْإِيمَانِ, between disbelief and faith. وَالتَصْدِيق وَالتَكْذِيب, and affirming the truth and denying it. وَالْإِقْرَار وَالْإِنْكَار. Al-Iqrar wal-Inkar. In this, one of the texts of the book, it says Ikzaz. It must be a mistake, I guess. Because in the other text, I think it says Iqrar. Subhanallah. Naam. It seems as though it's Iqrar, naam. That he would be undecided and going between disbelief and faith and affirming the truth and denying it and يعني, confirming or denying. يعني affirmation or acceptance and rejection. Accepting the truth and rejecting. He will be between these conditions. مُوَسْوَسًا تَائِهًا شَاكًا بَائِغًا. That person, how would be his condition? He would be subjected to whispering and find himself confused and full of doubt and deviating, slipping, sliding. Due to what? Due to the fact that he refused to submit to that which Allah has given to us and submit his understanding to the understanding that Allah has given to us and the understanding of the Prophet ﷺ. Then he said, Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, لا مؤمنا مصدقا ولا جاهدا مكذبا. يعني he wouldn't be a believer who firmly يعني attests to the truth, nor would he be a disbeliever who totally rejects the truth. He would be in between the two. Not completely accepting nor completely rejecting. Here the Shaykh says, the reality of Islam, a person would not attain the reality of Islam except that they submit to the text of the Quran and Sunnah, confirming the truth that's found therein and surrendering themselves completely to such. And he shouldn't oppose that understanding and those truths that came in the Qur'an and Sunnah by his desires, his own desires, or his opinions, or the doubts that came to his mind. Nor by his يعني, own personal opinion or his intellect, or by making comparison between things. يعني he should accept that which came in the Qur'an and Sunnah without turning to making comparisons and rationalization and intellectualization, and following his own desires. If any person sought knowledge, which is not possible for him to attain, those things, what knowledge is not possible for him to attain? Those things which Allah made of the unseen, al-ghayb, knowledge of the unseen, al-ghayb, the things that's with Allah alone. He didn't mean for the human beings to know about such. Whoever seeks such knowledge, that Allah made it unattainable for his creatures, those things, especially which are connected or related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His wisdom and His yani execution of the affairs of the universe, that the knowledge of such things is with Him alone. And He didn't, yani His intellect and His understanding did not accept nor submit to that which Allah has given and offered and that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained. He has not submitted to such, then His moving in this direction, his absence of submission and surrender shall be the cause or the reason for him being prohibited from achieving and realizing pure Tawheed and the reality of Tawheed and pure and correct knowledge of Allah and correct faith, which is based on affirming that which came in the Quran and Sunnah and surrendering or submitting to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Accepting and surrendering to the truth. So that person finds himself in the condition between affirmation and negation, between sometimes believing in that which came, yani the information that came in the Sharia, yani that came in the Quran and Sunnah, and sometimes disbelieving in it, sometimes confirming it, and sometimes rejecting it, submitting and falling victim to their whispering and their doubt and their corrupt imagination. That person would never be firm in the deen. They would not have firmness, but they would deviate and go astray. Finally, he says that the last word of Imam Tahawi means that that person would not be a true believer, and who has perfect iman, nor would they be a disbeliever completely, who disbelieves in everything that came. Because the reality of iman is affirmation of the truth when it comes to you and submitting to it. Especially in those things which the wisdom of it is not known to us. Yani that which we can understand the wisdom behind it, we accept it easily. But that which we do not know the wisdom behind it, maybe our inner being, our self, our intellect might cause us to begin to search in such matters and to redefine them or to give our own opinions to such things. But we are expected to surrender and submit to that which we understand its wisdom and that which we don't understand its wisdom. Yeah, and those things which we don't understand its wisdom are those things that the intellect cannot comprehend. The human intellect is not complete or perfect, and it doesn't have the ability to understand the reality of some. Last point for tonight is point number 37, where Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah says, وَلَا يَصِحُّ الْإِيمَانُ بِالرَّؤْيَةِ لِأَهْلِ دَارِ السَّلَامِ لِمَنْ اِعْتَبَرَهَا مِنْهُمْ بِوَحْمٍ أَوْ تَأَوَّلَهَا بِفَهْمٍ. Yani the first point he is saying here, that a person's belief or their iman in the seeing of the ru'ya, the seeing of Allah by the people of paradise, is incorrect if he tries to imagine what it is like or interprets it according to his own understanding. Yani the seeing of Allah or the iman or faith of a person in the seeing of Allah, your belief in such will not be complete and correct if you allow yourself to reinterpret or to imagine how it would be. It's not your right to do so. إِذْ كَانَ تَعْوِيلَ الرَّؤْيَةَ تَعْوِيلَ إِذْ كَانَ تَعْوِيلَ الرَّؤْيَةَ وَتَعْوِيلَ كُلَّ مَعْنَى يُضَافِ إِلَى رُبُوبِيَّةَ بِتَرْكَ التَّعْوِيلَ وَلُزُومَ التَّسْلِيمِ. يعني that's the correct way to interpret such things as the seeing of Allah or anything that is related to the matters of Allah's rububiyyah, His Lordship, the things that are peculiar or particular to the knowledge of Allah and His manner of operating or maintaining or supervising the universe. These things, the way to interpret them is by submitting to that which Allah says without interpreting it. Yani is not to interpret it, not to try to interpret it or to imagine how it is, but just to accept it. The things that the human being does not have knowledge of, the way to understand them is not to interpret them, but to accept them just as they are. If Allah says that you will see Him, don't try to begin to imagine how it will be, how will we see Him, by what means or what manner. No, but you just accept it. Because it's not possible, the human being is not capable to understand the how of it in this world. But it will happen. You will experience it. We will experience it. Insha'Allah, we ask Allah that we will be of those who experience the sight of Allah, the greatest and the most joyous of the bounties of Allah in the next life. Wa alayhi deenul muslimin. Yani this point, the leaving off of trying to interpret such matters, this is the way of the religion of the Muslims, or it is the way of the prophets and messengers of the past, all of them. ومن لم يتوقع نفي النفي والتشبيه and whoever doesn't protect or avoid whoever doesn't protect themselves or avoid النفي والتشبيه النفي is negating that which Allah has informed us of especially those things related to him his characteristics or his actions or qualities or name whoever doesn't protect himself from النفي negating that which Allah has affirmed or التشبيه affirming it but affirming it by comparing Allah to anything in the creation whoever doesn't avoid these two things negating Allah's characteristics or affirming them by comparing Allah to human beings or anything in the creation whoever doesn't avoid these two things zalla wa lam yusib at-tanzih then that person has slipped and they have failed to reach or to achieve at-tanzih at-tanzih it means to accept Allah's names and characteristics just as they are as Allah intended them to be understood without any interpretation without any distortion without negation without comparison and so on this is at-tanzih yani not to compare Allah in any way or to accept anything to be attributed to Allah of imperfection or shortcoming yani to declare Allah's perfection and not to negate anything that he has affirmed for himself this is at-tanzih the person who achieves tanzih they can only achieve it if they avoid these two things that they don't negate anything Allah has affirmed or the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed nor do they compare Allah in that which they affirm for him to anything in the creation now okay this is related to something else it's related to how our relationship to Allah how is our relationship to Allah yani if you see Allah as being merciful and kind and generous to you you will find him as such if you have hope that Allah will have mercy on you and that Allah will forgive you and Allah will be generous in rewarding you for your good deeds he will be as such but if you feel Allah is not merciful Allah is not kind Allah is not generous then you will find Allah will deal with you accordingly this is the meaning of this this is related to another matter it is related to our relationship to Allah as you see Allah and as you imagine Allah to be kind and generous and merciful to you then you will find him as such if you have the husn al-dhan yani if you have a good view of Allah that Allah is very merciful and Allah is very kind then you will find Allah merciful and kind but if you have a bad idea about Allah su al-dhan that I did some bad deeds Allah will never forgive me then you may find Allah as such or you did some good deeds you don't expect that Allah will reward you generously I think Allah is not generous then you will find that Allah will deal with you accordingly yani this means the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is trying to tell us that we are encouraged to look for the best from Allah to expect the best from Allah that's what the meaning of this is this hadith inshallah we should take the hadith in its entirety with an explanation yani at some point but it's related and it's not related to the understanding of Allah's characteristics and qualities it is related to our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wallahu a'lam the end of his statement here Imam al-Tahawi says that whoever yani doesn't avoid these things negation and comparison that person has slipped from the correct way and they have not achieved the real tanzih or the declaration or affirmation of perfection for Allah and that Allah is free from any kind of imperfection or shortcoming fa inna rabbana jalla wa ala موصوف بصفات الوحدانية منعوت بنعوت الفردانية ليس في معناه أحد من البرية يعني because our Lord سبحانه وتعالى can only be described in terms of oneness and uniqueness يعني Allah is described with the صفات of الوحدانية uniqueness that he is alone he is one and alone in his characteristics man'ut bin'ut and fardaniyya and he is described by qualities of again fardaniyya and wahdaniyya the meaning is similar that Allah is one and Allah is alone and Allah is unique in his characteristics and qualities laysa fi ma'nahu ahadun min al-barriyyah and there is no one in the creation that has similar qualities or characteristics or is similar in any way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the last point for this evening. Shaykh Al-Khumayyiz says concerning this point that no one's faith in the seeing of Allah the Most High will be correct or right if they try to re-explain or give their own understanding, or they use their imagination, or if they think that they have the ability to know the kayfiyah or the how of these characteristics or qualities or descriptions of Allah. No one can know the how of them, but we only affirm the reality of them. Such a person who re-explains or interprets or distorts the meaning or explains the how or makes comparison has made a mistake. They are in error. And that person does not have true belief or faith in the vision or the seeing of Allah in its reality. Because the ru'ya, the reality of the seeing of Allah on the Day of Resurrection, its reality and the how of it is only known to Allah the Most High. And for this, and in that case, yani, this particular matter and other matters that are connected to the Creator, all of these things, the explanation or the understanding that is correct is for us not to explain or to give our opinion or to try to examine the how of it by comparing it or looking at it in light of anything in this world. Yeah, I mean, whatever we can imagine of the things of this world will not be related to the matters of the next life. But in fact, what we are required to do is to affirm the correct meaning that has been indicated in the text of Quran and Sunnah without explaining how, and to submit and surrender ourselves to the information that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the religion of the Muslims, that our Prophet, the Prophet of Allah, has been sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent with. So every Muslim is expected to be warned and to be cautioned from two things. The first of them is a nafi, negation, and the second of them is a tashbih, yani negating whatever Allah has described Himself with, or whatever the Prophet ﷺ has described Him with, negating the reality of those things as Allah intended it to be, but distorting its meaning or denying it. And the second of them is tashbih, yani to compare Allah to anything in the creation in reference to Himself, or in reference to His actions, or in reference to His names or characteristics. None of these can be compared to anything in the creation. And these two points, that we should avoid negation and comparison, are combined in the saying of Allah. These two points are combined in the saying of Allah in Surah Shura, chapter 42, verse 11, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That is, nothing is like Him, and He is the hearing and the seeing. In the first part of the statement, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, that nothing is like Him, we are warned to avoid making any comparison, because nothing is like Him, nothing is similar to Him. And in the second part of the statement, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, He is hearing and seeing, we are also informed to affirm for Allah those characteristics which He has affirmed for Himself, like hearing and seeing and so on. So in this ayah, we have combined between negating any comparison to Allah and affirming those things that Allah has affirmed for Himself in one ayah. And whoever doesn't avoid these two things, they have slipped from the correct aqidah, they have fallen into error, and they have deviated from the correct manner and the correct understanding that Allah has made obligatory on us. So we should know that for sure Allah has characteristics, and He has actions, and He has names that He has described Himself with, and that the Prophet ﷺ has described Him with, and He is unique in those things. We have to affirm them without comparison. This is the end of what he says here, and this is the last point that we want to discuss this evening. Inshallah, we should take a few questions. Maybe there's a few moments. There's a question from the sisters first, and then if the brothers have any question or statement or correction. Seeing the face of Allah in the next life, which He promised for believers, then how about the statement that on the Day of Judgment, in which all the people will be gathered together in one place, whether believers or non-believers, and Allah will be the judge for all mankind. Naam. The ru'ya of Allah, or the seeing of Allah, is affirmed for the believers, and it is negated for the disbelievers. The affirmation that the believers will see Allah on the day of resurrection is in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Not in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, but the ayah in which Allah says, وُجُوهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٍ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٍ. That faces on that day will be bright, brilliant, shining, and they would be looking at their Lord. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٍ. They will be looking to their Lord. So this is the affirmation that on the day of resurrection, on that day faces will be bright, and the believers would be seeing their Lord. As for the negation of the ru'ya of Allah by the disbelievers, the negation that the disbelievers will see Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this is in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, where Allah says, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَرَّبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. كَلَّا نَي إِنَّهُمْ عَرَّبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. That they would verily be mahjubun, screened. There will be a hijab between them and their Lord. Yani they would be screened from seeing their Lord. And this seeing of Allah on the yawm, on the day of resurrection, will be for the believers, for those whom Allah is pleased with, and it is the reward of the believers, and it is the greatest enjoyment or pleasure that the people would enjoy in the next life. And the screening of the disbelievers from seeing Allah, yani it is a punishment for those whom Allah is displeased with, that Allah would punish them by not allowing them to enjoy this great ni'mah or this bounty or favor that would only be for the believers. So this is the proof that even though all of the people would be gathered together on the day of resurrection, that only those whom Allah is pleased with would get this reward of seeing Him, and those whom Allah is displeased with would be denied this reward, and that would be their punishment for what they did in this world and for their disbelief. If there are any questions or comments or corrections, further. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.